with songs about morphine, mines, murder, chewing gum, and chickens. The women of Lawrence-based band Maw are, at least according to one review, not the kind of women you would want around your kids, husband, or liquor cabinet. I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, we meet the band members of Maw and discuss the fine lines between raunchy lyrics and quaint suburban and rural family life, the difference between pits of desire and advice for the young and foolish. Stay tuned for a show that mixes one part hoedown, one part hootenanny, and the rest, well, an hour of talk and tunes. That's on Central Standard after this hour's NPR News. Good morning, Kansas City. Leave it to a French philosopher to unwittingly sum up string instruments. It was art critic and philosopher Denis Diderot who said, "We are all instruments endowed with feeling and memory. Our senses are so many strings that are struck by surrounding objects that also frequently strike themselves." This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. No one knows this better than the all-string, all-female band, Maw. And today we meet the members of this Lawrence-based folk and bluegrass band, Maw, whose albums include Pit of Desire and the latest offering, and the first album is Advice for the Young Foolish. The latest offering is Pit of Desire. Titles many a philosopher can be proud of. We have Kit Cole, Katie Conrad, Tracy Floriani, Julie Schwarting, and Jeannie Wells. Welcome to the show, ladies of Maw.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Now, tell us the story of Maw. How did it come together, and where did the name come from?
I guess three of us are married to the people in Midday Ramblers, and they were busy playing, and we thought, well, we know how to play a little, and so we started getting together on Friday nights and drinking a little wine and playing, and pretty soon Kit and Tracy joined us. The name Maw was somewhat accidental, left over from an idea for a band in that I had in the 90s. There used to be a band called Paw. I guess there still is.
They still
do play occasionally. But I just thought it'd be great to have an all-woman band named Maw. So when we started playing, it just seemed like, well, I guess this is Maw.
So, Katie, Maw doesn't stand for Midwestern Amiable Wonders.
Of course it does.
Of course it does. Of course it does. Tell us about that story. So your husband plays mandolin.
Yes, he does, yeah.
And so you decided, I'm going to play in my own band.
my husband plays mandolin, the Midday Ramblers, and a bunch of other stringed instruments. And I actually had a mandolin that I inherited from my grandparents on both sides, actually. And so I really wanted to learn to play it before my grandfather passed away. I actually got to play for him. But my husband taught me to play mandolin, though he is not responsible for my failures as a mandolin player, only the successes.
So it's safe to say that your first two band practices was pretty much talking and drinking beer and wine?
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
I think that's pretty much what happened there.
And none since, I'm sure.
Yeah, nothing.
All
really
the rest have been pure seriousness and constant playing.
Music theory.
Yeah.
Kit Cole, really cool name.
Thank you.
How did you come to the group?
Actually, I was friends with Katie, and we were working on a different musical project together, and she told me that they were starting up this band, and I said, hey, I have a fiddle. I haven't touched it in years, but I'll be glad to give it a shot if you'll have me, and she encouraged me. Basically, she told me I wouldn't have to do much, just play some droney notes, and I was like, I think I can do that.
We lied.
Were you waiting for that conversation? Were you waiting to say, here, I have a fiddle?
Not really. I mean, it was put away. I played it in college and was in the orchestra in college and just sort of, yeah, I wasn't really looking to play. But then when she talked about it, I was like, yeah, I should do this. This would be good.
Julie Schwarting, get on in here. Where does this group draw its inspiration from?
Oh, well, maybe donkeys and chickens and whiskey and... I don't know, probably some of the men we know. That's probably where we get our inspiration.
I think you channel the 19th century when you write songs.
Well, you too, Tracy, a little bit. Yeah.
when you're referring to the menu, are these donkeys, chickens?
No. The actual human men that we know that are source of great inspiration. We have a very vibrant musical community that we're lucky to be a part of. And so, I don't know. We have a lot of fun with it.
And this is interesting. You do have a lot of fun with it because the subject matter of most of your tunes involve vice, despair, mischief, drug use. Murder, vice, despair, mischief, drug use, does that speak to you at all?
Well, I think this is a pretty safe outlet, as opposed to actually
living it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get to sing about it and contemplate it in a more creative way.
What's pretty remarkable about it, though, is that a lot of the songs you use are original, so were inspiration for stuff that might have and probably actually did really happen. But I don't know if this is on purpose or by accident. Lots of songs throughout your body of work where people get murdered.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Why?
Well, y'all can help me out here.
It is part of the ballad and old time tradition that I think really we got interested in. And
I'm
for sure
I may have brought some of it with me too.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is Tracy. I used to be in a band in the 90s called Black Lung that played in Kansas. And it started as a joke that we would only play songs about coal mining and murders. And so that became a theme. So I learned a lot of murder ballads and wrote murder ballads with that band. And we actually do Factory Boy, which came from that band.
You were in a band about African-American breathing organs?
No, just lung disease.
So, from the mines?
Yes.
The coal miners stuff?
Not mutually exclusive.
Okay.
That's
okay.
True.
Right, right. So what made you bring this sort of motif of the group, the old-timey sort of coal miner's daughter, farmer's daughter, pits of desire, despair, guns, drugs, whiskey, stuff like that? What made you sort of converge on that?
Well, I think there's a lot of commonalities throughout the ages, and at least as far as I know in our culture and there are a lot of commonalities and things that people have been concerned with for a long time. So, I don't know. I think it's a good outlet for emotions that we may all have. Not the desire to kill, of course, but the id side of life.
You ever really had a bad day and just put it all into the music?
No.
No?
No, that's never happened.
No.
Kit Cole, on the other hand, I see you.
Well, yeah, sometimes I do. If I've had a bad day, I'll pick up the fiddle and just start wailing away at home. It's great practice, and it's a great cathartic thing to do.
Tracy Floriani, does your frustration and angst go into the lyrics at all?
No, I think when I write, I teach literature, American literature, so I feel like I'm kind of bringing some of the stories in my mind and translating them into songs. So I actually pull pieces out of novels I've read, and so to me it's about storytelling something that I'm not living.
You teach American literature,
mm-hmm.
yet have no frustration and angst whatsoever.
None whatsoever. Grading is a joy.
Let's go around the bin here really quickly. Which of your favorite songs contain your favorite stories? Let's start with Kate.
Oh, gosh. I should be looking at the CD.
Of our songs?
Of our songs?
Or your songs.
Yeah. Cannonball. No.
That is a good song.
We didn't write it. It's just a good sort of 30s era, isn't it? Hobo song.
You just like songs with hobos.
I like songs with hobos. We've tried to create or claim the genre of hobocore for us, but it's already been claimed, apparently, according to the Urban Dictionary.
Kit Cole, what about you?
I think one of my favorite is one that that Julie wrote called Pit of Desire. It's the title of the second album, but it sort of warns against the, excesses of wanting too much, just not being satisfied with your life the way it is.
Falling into the
pit of desire.
Wow.
Never ending.
Like the way you said that. Julie Schwarting, what's your
I think I have kind of a tie. I really like Factory Boy, but I also like Dowry Mule. And I think Dowry Mule is probably my favorite. And I try to emulate it in everything I write.
How about you, Jeannie Wells?
Yeah, I have a lot that I like. I was thinking of, I like the Milliners song that Julie wrote, just telling the tales of a young factory worker. And I like Dust Devil, which is another one that Julie wrote. I like the ones that tell a story, definitely, and I like the narrative behind some of them, that you can follow the characters through their horrible, miserable lives.
Tracy Floriani, English Lit, Black Lungs. What's your favorite song?
I really like a song that we never play out that Julie wrote called Down to the River. And the reason I like it is it sounds like this really sweet 19th century hymn. But the lyrics are about this person who keeps trying to kill herself and she keeps failing. But and the lyrics, Julie writes really metaphorical, beautiful, poetic lyrics. And I really like that song. I think it does it well.
Well, speaking of something that is slightly less metaphorical, we're about to play a song that begins with the first verse that includes poking a baby in the eye when they cry. Somebody give us a primer on that before we go to what I'll do with the baby.
They're pointing at me. This is a song. It's an old fiddle tune. It's kind of a raucous fiddle tune we learned. When I was pregnant with my daughter Rose, I was pregnant and playing this song all the time. And what I think was hilarious is people would look at me and then look at my belly and then look up again with this sort of chagrin, and like they were going to be calling Child Protective Services any minute.
Certainly.
But yeah, it's really just a raucous fiddle tune.
Well, let's listen and judge for ourselves the music of Ma.
Swing your paw, swing the girl from Arkansas. Wrap her up in a tablecloth, put her in the old hayloft. That's what I do with the baby.
That was a snippet from What'll I Do with the Baby Yo by Lawrence-based all-female band called Ma, whose albums include Pit of Desire and Advice for the Young and Foolish. You are listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM, streaming live on KCR.org. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Our guests are the very same members of the very same band, Ma, Kit Cole, Katie Conrad, Tracy Floriani, Julie Schwarting, and Jeannie Wells. Julie, some of the songs are old-timey and cold from coal mining and farming communities and angry English literature teachers. But a lot of the songs are also originals. One of your band members was saying you channel the 19th century sometimes. How do you split the difference in deciding what you'll record that's from another source versus what you'll do from a proprietary nature?
Well, I think we've always kind of everybody's brought their own songs to the group and said, hey, what about this? Let's try this. I don't know exactly what happened, but I started to write quite a bit of music, and some of it's good and some of it's not so good. And I usually just kind of bring it to the group and play it. And if they see something in it, sometimes we take that and run with it.
You also play the upright bass. So how does that help or aid you in your writing process? Do you write words first and then tickle the bass, or do you do it at the same time?
Yeah, it is kind of confusing. I've started to try to play the guitar a little bit, and that's helpful when you're writing songs. I don't play very well, but it's enough to accompany me, and I can pick out a tune. And then sometimes when I bring it to the group, it's hard for me to play the bass, because really I've been playing the guitar the whole time, so I have to kind of relearn it.
What makes you tick? I thought I'd throw that in there.
Good question.
Her chickens.
Yeah.
Kettle corn. Chickens.
Kettle corn.
The official food of Mosh.
I don't know. I think my husband has been a huge influence. He was influenced by his father, who was a music teacher, and he just comes to it pretty naturally. And so since I've been with him, I've been constantly around music, and that's probably what's been my biggest inspiration.
Here's an interesting question for those of you who are married and have spouses that are also play. If there's a disagreement or a competition, you just pick up instruments and start freestyling?
Yes. And most of us have plenty of instruments lying around the house. So usually, you know, if somebody's got your favorite guitar, there's another guitar or banjo or whatever it is lying around.
I'm quite interested, Jeannie Wells, in the concepts of your albums, Pit of Desire and Advice for the Young and Foolish. Mm-hmm. How does that happen? Does it happen by committee?
Well, usually there's just, we've got enough songs for a CD. Well, I guess we'll record one. The naming of it has become a chore.
A comedy show.
A comedy show. And so it's funny because the first one, we had a painting of this woman holding a dead rabbit, and then we recorded a song called Betray that was written by Truck Stop Honeymoon, all about, you know, if you cheat on me, I'll kill you like a rabbit, basically. And so it was like, oh, this painting goes with this song, and it just sort of became the cover of that. But then the title track was Advice for the Young and Foolish, which is one of Tracy's songs, and it seemed like it went well enough with the story of this woman, you know, kind of holding up this rabbit.
On the CD, too.
What's that?
And the other songs on the CD as well.
Right. Yeah, right. And then the second one, it was like, wow, we had a lot more originals, a lot of them from Julie. And we recorded, but I don't think, we didn't have a concept in mind when we went in to record. We recorded them, and then we were trying to figure out, okay, now what are we going to name it? Tracy's husband wanted to paint the cover for the second one, and he was asking for ideas of what we wanted, and we were like, we don't know. Maybe a train, maybe a tornado. I don't know.
And he just said, I have this photograph of this creepy Victorian girl with her long hair down. I'll just paint that. Because we weren't giving him any guidance.
So then we got the artwork, and we still hadn't named it. And I think there was when we played in Oklahoma, we had a 10 hours in a van together where we we must have generated 200 names that are hilarious.
What were some of them?
Oh, boy. What were some of them?
That we could say.
That are suitable
some of them
for
we
live
can't really say.
What were some of them that were suitable for live radio?
They still reject my favorite, The Banjo Ate My Baby.
Yeah, The Banjo Ate My Baby. I can't even remember. I think Julie has the master list somewhere.
You have the master list. Is it in a safe?
Yes. Yes, it is. It's very safe.
How do you mix motherhood or wifehood, family life with this aesthetic of 19th century wild Annie Oakley type style of music? How do you mix that? Please don't answer all at once.
I would just say, as someone who doesn't have a child, I think since three of the women in the band have daughters, I think it's really cool that they're making this role model for their daughters, that your mothers can go out and do things that are creative and their own thing, and play music. And, you know, I didn't grow up seeing women play live music, and so I think it's a great role model for their daughters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I keep trying to encourage my kids to play, and I think they're coming around to it. But, you know, kids are often wanting to rebel against their parents and what they do. But I think it's just nice to have them immersed in it. Like this morning, I just woke up at 6:30 and came down and learned a new song on the guitar, and the kids came down. And, you know, so I'm hoping that it filters down to them. And maybe they won't come around to doing it until they're later in life, but at least they'll develop an appreciation of it.
Katie, as a modern woman, how does you are modern, right? You are from the
20th and 21st.
Because that's good. That's good. How does the old time music speak to you and inform your process?
One of the things that I'm also an English professor, so but I do British and Irish literature, and I've always been interested in it and interested in the way that that storytelling happens and the oral tradition. And I think that the oral tradition is alive and well in the 21st century and very much but it's taking on different forms. And we were talking about how music gets distributed and how people listen and access music. So it's I'm not sure that that's an answer about being a modern woman, but I think that that past is speaks to us in the way we play and in the kind of topics we play around with.
Certainly a lot of the Appalachian music and bluegrass music to a certain extent has some roots, and you can hear the roots in some of the Gaelic folktales of Ireland and some of the old Anglo-Saxon tunes there. Do you ever, in the writing process, make that connection at all? Do you ever sort of take a sort of Daniel Day-Lewis process to it and say, I'm an Irish maiden in the middle of the potato famine. Let me channel that.
Well, I just wrote a song about the Civil War that didn't happen.
Because you weren't there.
Yeah, I wasn't there. I actually do use a lot of sort of Irish stories and child ballads and things like that as inspiration, though I haven't written that many songs for the band yet. I have a few that they haven't seen, but yeah, definitely that becomes part of the inspirational process.
And I would just follow up on one of the things I like to do is, and I didn't realize I was doing it till after I'd been doing it for a while, is correct, as a modern woman, correcting some of the, like, rewriting stories from the past that it have for sort of a feminist angle. I wrote Factory Boy because I was listening to the Louvin Brothers version of Knoxville Girl, which is based on a really old English ballad. And I just got to thinking, why are all these, there's all these murder ballads where guys just for no particular reason just decide to kill the woman they're in love with. And I thought, well, I'm just going to write one where the woman just kills the guy for no particular reason.
Add a little parody to it.
Sure.
Both parodies.
They can be crazy too.
Both parodies. Now, Kit, your road to perdition and discovery with this band is a little bit different. You come from a classical background.
That's right. That's how I started on the violin, orchestra in high school and college, and classical lessons, Boy Paganini, that sort of thing. So, yes.
Do you have a routine for the show where you might start out with some Bach and then just start tapping your cowboy boots on the stage?
No,
just
but
go
I,
into that?
I think that's an excellent idea.
You should.
And we should do that.
Absolutely.
You should.
Vivaldi.
Yes.
He's plucky.
Jeannie, do you ever get input on how the songs go as far as writing and as far as composition? Is it a committee process? I know that the group has its writers, but
I think there is a group process. I guess, you know, Julie writes a lot of them, and so sometimes, you know, sometimes I'll hear it and think, wow, that to me sounds like a spaghetti western, or oh, that sounds like a you know, like there's a new one we might do that sounds more like a, I don't know, something not exactly of this genre, but I think sometimes they just, whoever writes them brings them in, and and a lot of times when we write songs, we'll do scratch recordings and just email them to each other, and then we'll just play with them and kind of see what happens, and sometimes they take on a whole new life.
Yeah, I really appreciate it when Jeannie gets a hold of one of my songs, because I think when I bring them in, they're just kind of very rough, and often Jeannie's one of the first people who can see something more in it that, or something that I didn't even see in it.
Although I have plans for the Possum song.
Oh yeah, the Possum song. The next CD is going to be so great.
You have a song called Starry Crown on your debut album that's traditional, but the arrangement is by the Carolina Chocolate Drops, a very popular black bluegrass and folk band out of North Carolina. How did you choose that particular arrangement?
It's the best one.
It was the best one for the song.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, we really loved that CD. I think all of us were listening to it, and I think I heard it first from Tracy, and it just seemed to that was one of those songs that just immediately kind of came together for our band, and it's been a favorite for people when we play out, so we figured we should record it, though by no means do we feel like we're as good as the Carolina Chocolate Drops.
No.
Well, this has some gospel and church roots as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, let's hear Starry Crown by Ma.
Hit him in the head with a 2x4. I'm gonna wear that starry crown over there. Over there, over there. I'm gonna wear that starry crown over there. Ain't got no skillet, ain't got no lid. Ash cake tastes like shortening bread. I'm gonna wear that starry crown over there.
That starry crown by the group Maw, taken from an arrangement originally composed by the Carolina Chocolate Drops. Our guests are Kit Cole on fiddle, Katie Conrad, mandolin, tenor, banjo, and vocals, Tracy Floriano, guitar, tenor guitar, and vocal, Julie Schwarting, upright bass, vocals, and wordsmithing, and Jeannie Wells, the clawhammer banjo, guitar, and vocals. Starry Crown, what strikes you about that song, Julie Schwarting?
I personally like the rhythm and the swing that gets into it. It's kind of, it just happens. We haven't planned it, but it's so... I don't know. It's great. I love it.
We're laughing as we listen to these recordings because we play these live about 3 times faster than we recorded them.
Sound really
wow,
slow.
This sounds slow. We get rowdy live.
It's true.
Well, we got Kit Cole, Katie Conrad, Tracy Floriani, Julie Schwarling, Jeannie Wells. It's time for a quick break. And when we come back, more with the musical stylings of Maw. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. If you like rocking out at the farmer's market to bluegrass songs about morphine, mines, murder, chewing gum, and cheating spouses who you will later kill, you're tuned in to the right station, the right show with the right guests. And our guests are Maw, Kit Cole on fiddle, Katie Conrad on mandolin, tenor, banjo, and vocals, Tracy Floriani, she does guitar, tenor guitar, and English literature as well, Julie Schwarting, upright bass, vocals, and wordsmithing, and Jeannie Wells, clawhammer, banjo, quiet manner. They are the women of Ma. What do you find so special or unique about string instruments in terms of both writing and performing songs? Katie?
The wonderful thing about them is that you can carry them to shows without a bunch of gear. That's really nice. We like that. They're not that, well, I would say they're not heavy, except that Jeannie has to carry about... 50 tons worth of banjo. it's really easy to compose on, and they're intimate so that you can hold them to yourself. You can really get comfortable with them. You can carry them anywhere, unless it's a banjo
or a bass.
Jeannie, tell us about the clawhammer banjo.
I don't know if I'm qualified, but
you play it.
I do play it. It's the oldest style, really, of the banjo, and it's played without picks, and so you're playing it kind of on the outside your fingernails, really. And it's an older style. It's actually kind of came African roots, and you know, kind of a gourd banjos were the first ones in the States, and with strings across them. And then I guess it was 40s or 40s and 50s, the more of the bluegrass style became more popular. But I've actually never played the three-finger bluegrass style. I've only ever played the old style, and I like it. It's challenging because you retune for every key, whereas bluegrass banjo, you're pretty much staying in a standard tuning, and so it's so much easier to play bluegrass banjo.
Girl Scruggs had it easy.
I am constantly tuning, which is a little bit annoying, I think, to my bandmates on stage. I'm always retuning, and they're always having to kind of talk while I retune. And
then why choose the hardest banjo?
You know, I just like it. I like the older sound. I just think it sounds right for us. It sounds right for me. It's the one I like to sit on the sofa at home and play. I think it has a earthier sound, and I just really prefer it. I think I'd like to learn bluegrass banjo someday and play. I should master this one a little bit more first before I add anything else.
It's really more old time. So
yeah,
and
it's definitely more old time, and it was much more of an inspiration that way.
So when it comes to the claw hammer banjo, Susanna needn't waste her time crying for you. Right?
Yeah.
There are references to the Dust Bowl and Depression era of the 1930s all throughout your albums. And does that resonate today with you as artist Tracy Floriani?
I'm still living it.
You're still living it. Talk about that.
I married an Okie who has this really old farmhouse that doesn't have heat. We have a wood-burning stove, and there are times in the winter where I feel like I'm still living through the Depression. We've been having horrible droughts the past two summers in Oklahoma to where the foundations are cracking on our house. So it still seems relevant, there are still people alive who lived through it, but you really feel it in Oklahoma, I think.
Very parallels to the scenes in The Grapes of Wrath. Living out there with the drought and the...
My husband's very defensive about that. He said, "We didn't leave. The Dust Bowl didn't hit this part."
So they didn't go to California.
No, but it's still very Jody around there.
Jody.
Tom Joad.
Certainly.
Jody.
Certainly. What about your historical inspiration there, Katie?
My historical inspiration. I mean, it's Woody Guthrie's 100th birthday. I feel like we need to give a shout out to Woody Guthrie.
Yay, Woody.
I'll be honest. I mean, a lot of my inspiration has been much more recent and much more out of the community of musicians that we come out of. Although I got into folk and old time music, honestly through Irish music, which is what I used to listen to a long time ago, and we don't play that, and nor do I think I will ever be able to play that. It's its own style and takes a whole lot of skill, but of a different sort, but. But really, much more locally and 20th century Woody Guthrie, in terms of the local music that I'm inspired by, as well as the kind of bluegrass music that I became familiar with through my husband. He gave me a tape when we this is. Dates us, I'm sure, but he gave me a tape when we first got together when I claimed to him that I didn't like country music, which is pretty ironic at this point. And it had music like bluegrass, old time, Woody Guthrie, and that really got me interested actively in the music. And honestly, both of our bands play about three quarters of that tape in our regular sets now. So it's kind of funny. Yeah, I lied to you. I pretended I liked it all along, but I didn't.
Julie Schwarting.
I think I kind of lived it growing up. I grew up in South Dakota, and my parents were from the East Coast, but they decided that they liked the broad plains, and it gave me lots of room to think about things. And what was right outside our door were fields of plowed up soil and corn and farmers. And right now I'm living in the middle of a big patch of dirt, and so when I see the wind blow and the dust go and the tumbleweeds roll on by, I guess I feel a little bit transported.
And it's an interesting parallel because the drought we had this summer in the Midwest was comparable to the mid-30s, but without the dust, without the windstorms that could have exacerbated it as it did during the Dust Bowl.
Right. And we've improved our agricultural practices a little bit, but there's a lot of room for improvement.
Speaking of improved agricultural processes, Tracy Floriani, the song Fallen Woman. What was that about?
It's not about agriculture. But that was a nice segue.
Right.
That's one of those songs that, you know, some songs you have an idea and you're just working really hard to try to make it work, and it takes weeks. I think Dowry Mule took months. I was like, I want to write a song about a mule, and I couldn't make it come out. But Fallen Woman was one of those songs that kind of wrote itself in one afternoon. I don't know where it came from. I'd probably been reading some William Faulkner or something, knowing me. So it's just, you know, taking on that idea of the ruined woman. And in literature, the ruined woman always dies, but or she's miserable.
And in this one, she finds someone who doesn't care that she's ruined. So I kind of like the way it turned out. And it's one of those songs that I brought to the group, and we weren't sure if it was going to work. I wasn't in love with it. But when Jeannie put the harmony in there, it just clicked. And so it's kind of a nice process to see that happen.
Now, when Tracy Floriani brings in the fallen woman concept and lyrics, what conversation takes place to take it to the next step? What's that like, Jeannie?
Well, we tried it a while. We sang it. You know, that one is probably one of our PG-13 ones. You know, we don't always sing it, but it has kind of a nice raw quality that I think is pretty honest. And we sing it out sometimes. We don't always sing it.
I think one of the things we did, too, was, it varies from song to song when you're talking about arranging by committee, but the or how we put songs together. Sometimes the thing that kicks it is that we all start playing it and we know what we're going to play. Sometimes it's a really beautiful harmony, which I think was what won us over immediately, because Jeannie got that harmony, and it just was very old time, very high lonesome, and that really made the song quite beautiful. But it's different things with different songs.
Well, let's check out Fallen Woman by Ma.
They say, hey, there's a name for girls like me. They say, take me out walking anywhere. Even though I'm a fallen woman, even though I'm a fallen woman, they say I brought shame on my family. They say
that's a snippet from Fallen Woman off the Pit of Desire album released early this year from our in-studio guest, Ma, which stands for Midwestern Amiable Wanderers, Mothers Against Whining, Morphine, Alkaline, and Whiskey. It all depends on who you ask. A very beautiful ballad, Fallen Woman. Kit Cole on fiddle, Katie Conrad, mandolin, Tracy Floriani, who wrote the song Fallen Woman, Julie Schwarting, who's also a writer and upright bass player and does vocals, Jeannie Wells plays the claw hammer banjo, and we're talking about their life and music and inspiration and their name, Ma. You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Javelani LaFall. How do you decide whether to do a ballad such as Fallen Woman or a real sort of hootenanny, fast-paced song when you're performing?
Well, I think it's fair to say that we all like some of those slower waltz tunes and ballads because they're real pretty. But it depends on the venue we're playing. If we're playing a bar at 10 o'clock at night, no one's going to hear it. So we play the fast, rowdy stuff that people might be paying attention to or dancing to. If we're playing a venue that's more of a concert venue where people are sitting down, like the one we played in Southern Illinois a couple weeks ago, in an old feed store, we're very attentive audience. They really appreciate those, and you have a little more space and time to lay it out slowly, and it's a nice break from the really fast songs.
It's nice to do that even when you're, even occasionally in bar shows, we try to get those at least a little bit slower songs, partially to rest ourselves, because it's pretty breakneck pace sometimes.
Right.
I'm going to need a follow-up on the old feed store, playing in the old feed store. What was that about? How did that come about?
Who arranged that?
I think Katie.
Yeah.
Katie arranged that.
Yeah. We sort of arranged a little mini tour of the Midwest. We went out to Manhattan to Annie Mae's, which we've been hoping to do for a while. And I actually had a talk to give at Carbondale. So we were looking for an excuse to go out there. And we found this new venue called the Old Feed Store, which is actually a refurbished store in Cobden, Illinois. And a great guy by the name of Ray Hogan was willing to have us, even though we've not played there. Well, we actually had
played Carbondale once.
We played Carbondale once before. And so, and it was a fantastic audience. It's a real gem in the middle of the woods in the hills down there. So it was a pleasure.
What's been the reaction when you tour to your music and performances?
Well, it's pretty wide ranging, I think. You know, I feel like we know a lot of bands that just play bars. We know a lot of bands that just play festivals. We sort of play both, and so it really depends. Sometimes if we're playing for a more straight-laced bluegrass festival that, you know, we bring the rated G material, and we certainly try to, you know.
We still kill people, though, in
the
sets.
Yeah, we do still, and we joke about, you know, we keep a running tally of how many people have died so far in the set. People seem to laugh. But, you know, if we're playing in a bar, if we're playing at Winfield, you know, we introduce every song as, here's another one about whiskey. Woo! You know, and people go crazy. I mean, it just depends on who we're playing around, what kind of reaction is. We definitely play a rowdier bar set, you know.
And there isn't, I mean, the response we get, we are sort of a novelty. I mean, we realize that being five women in a band that playing murder ballads has a kind of novelty factor.
Small subgroup of
It's a relatively small subgroup of the genres that we play. So, but it's usually a very positive response as a result of that. Mm-hmm. Seeing people who don't see that who expected something different, maybe a little sweeter than we are, and we're sweet people, but we're not. The music isn't necessarily quite what people always expect. So
the reaction we get a lot is, especially at festivals where there are older folks, is, you girls look like you're having so much fun up there together.
Yeah.
And it's true. We do have a lot of fun playing.
So the set list kind of depends on the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And the approach
also
depends on the audience, the performance approach.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You're sensitive to that.
Sure.
Talk about advice that you would give an up-and-coming bluegrass or musician in general, Tracy Florian?
Well, move to Lawrence, Kansas, because it's a really supportive community. I think, you know, we got thrown onto a stage, which was actually a trailer from the back of a truck in a parking lot. But
we've been on a lot of those.
Yeah, we do a lot of odd gigs. But, you know, and this was true in my previous band experience. You get thrown on stage before you're ready because if you know people in the music scene, they are just so encouraging. So wherever you live, if you can find a music scene that is one that is fostering instead of competitive and ego-driven, people will let you come up and play a couple songs to just try it out. And so that would be my main advice, is find older musicians who are going to mentor you or at least give you space to play in that community. And also do your research.
Who are you guys mentoring?
Mentoring anyone? Your kids.
Yeah, the kids.
Yeah, maybe so.
That would be enough. You had something to add, Jeannie?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's important to play for yourselves and play for fun. And, you know, Lawrence is very nurturing. There's a lot of musicians. I also heard there are more musicians there per capita than any other city in the world. And so it's also, you are not going to get rich doing this, you know, so you can't, I think, I think you just got to play and have fun. And I think, you know, we're grown women. We have day jobs. We're not going to quit our jobs, I don't think, and, you know, go tour the world.
Say you.
And so, you know, there is kind of this, you know, there's two paths, I guess. If you're young and you don't, you know, you feel like you can take that chance and go try to be a professional musician, you know, that window closes as you get older. And then you have to just realize that, you know, we're going to have fun. We're going to tour. We're going to do what we can. But, you know, we have families and other considerations, too. So I think knowing that when you start out is good, what you want out of it.
However, if that chance comes up, if a tour, an international tour comes up or a national tour comes up, it's a fair question. How do you balance that?
How much it's going to cost us.
Do you say no?
Yeah.
Cost is a big thing.
Yeah. Because since we're not a regular touring band, there's this, you know, if you tour all the time, then the gigs you get pay a lot more. But when you don't tour all the time, they don't. And so there's this question of like, okay, we can't lose money. We have to break
much
even.
Money.
Yeah. It has to be fun, you know. Yeah. I think we would love to play, you know, we would always look at fun opportunities, and I always have this dream of playing Farm Aid someday.
Farm Aid.
That's what I want. Man.
Is Willie listening now? That's the question.
Willie Nelson, please invite us.
Yeah. No. So I mean, you know.
I think he's on the road again.
Yeah.
Personally. Let's start with Tracy Floriani. You have an album. It's called Advice for the Young and Foolish. So, what's your advice for the young and foolish? Is there anything you would tell the younger Tracy Floriani if you could kind of wormhole in your mind and go back?
I would say you are lucky you survived.
How about you, Jenny Webb?
Yeah, that's probably similar. I'd say that's similar. I'm lucky.
Watch it.
You're
that's
lucky.
What you'd say.
Yep. You know, you get more careful, I guess, as you get older.
Yeah. Julie Schwarting, yeah. What's your advice for the younger Julie?
I totally concur. I feel privileged to still be around and alive. And I think just I wish I had made some decisions more quickly. Like
such
maybe
as?
Maybe don't think about things for 10 years. Like what I want to be when I grow up. So I'm kind of a late bloomer.
Don't think about things for 10 years, Kit Cole.
Well, I think as far as surviving our past, I might be the black sheep here. I would tell the younger me to have more fun and do more crazy things.
And how about you, Katie?
I really wish I'd started playing instruments earlier and actually practiced when I was told to. Mm-hmm. And that goes out to all you little kids out there who aren't practicing your violins. Because really, I mean, you just, it's a habit that I developed much later when I had much less time. So, and don't drink Sterno.
Yeah, don't drink Sterno. Don't get hooked on laudanum.
Yeah, that's
my
straight out of
advice.
The album.
That's a pretty good advice.
It's a tragic past.
Speaking of advice, you have one song advising young women not to marry Kansas boys.
Oh, yeah.
It says, if you marry a Kansas boy, all you'll get is hoe cakes, hominy, and sassafras tea.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that. Is that pretty much the standard package out there with Kansas boys?
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising considering that there are no actual sassafras trees in the state of Kansas, how much sassafras the Kansas boys really push on you.
They import it.
It's a song that pretty much applies to every state. For a while, I was having a joke with my daughter that every night I'd sing it with a different state and make up different lyrics for it. So, but it
on
actually,
the spot or just
yeah,
say
on the
we're
spot.
In Hawaii today, so
on the spot.
All you get is pineapples with Hawaii
yeah,
boys.
Pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
pretty much the deal.
But there are versions of that yeah. song from multiple states. Yeah. No one really knows where it originated.
Arkansas boys is
Missouri boys.
And when we go to different places, we often find a way to cram in some reference to the locals. Or to ourselves if it's a state that, say, Kansas is playing football against, so we self-deprecating.
Right. And speaking of which, what's the difference between Missouri boys and Kansas boys? Somebody get that for me.
I've never dated a Chirp. Missouri boy.
Chirp. We don't want to go
Chirp.
There. Yeah, we don't want to go there.
Chirp.
Yeah, we don't want to get in trouble.
Is that a bird?
Yes.
That,
oh. No, that's
crickets.
A cricket.
Oh, cricket
chirping.
Cricket,
we
cricket
daren't chirp. Go there.
You need
daren't
to work on there. That sound effect.
Yeah, I'm
right.
sorry.
Right. Well,
that's not one of my instruments.
Let's go here. The song Kansas Boys by Ma. A little snippet from Kansas Boys off the Pit of Desire album released earlier this year from our guest, Maw. What's up next for Maw, just really quickly there, Katie?
Oh, we've got a whole bunch of Julie songs that we're trying to figure out and learn to play. We had a real huge pile of songs come our way, and we're trying to figure out which ones we can learn. Tracy actually lives out of state now, so we try to do this via tapes and Dropbox and all that. But we're excited. We have a bunch of songs, originals, and that we're working on for the next CD, including some wonderful ones like Corn Jail and about the plight of the farmer.
Any shows coming up?
Yeah, we're hoping to have it confirmed by this. We're going to try and play in Kansas City sometime in late December, January with KC Bear Fighters. So I guess find us on Facebook, and that's usually where we're the best at updating our tour schedule.
And look out for that. Kit Cole, Katie Conrad, Tracy Floriani, Julie Schwarting, and Jeannie Wells, members all of the band Maw. Ladies, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having
fun.
Us.
And remember, if you enjoyed today's show or any other show on Central Standard, you can go to kcur.org for Central Standard archive, programming, podcasts, and more. Our show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton with help from Danny Alexander. Up to Date is next with local chefs answering your Thanksgiving questions. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Happy Thanksgiving and enjoy your day.